With the state of today's economy, it's more important than ever to invest in products that last for years to come. As the seasons shift and get cooler, make sure your closet is stocked with durable layers that stand the test of time from American Giant. American Giant's clothes work harder and are wearable season after season. Their greatest hoodie ever made is made from the highest quality materials that are cut and sewn right here in the United States. So you're investing right back in your local community. Choosing American Giant means taking a stand for American manufacturing and hardworking Americans, something other mega corporations don't care about. From fleece to knit, all in a range of colors for versatile daily wear, American Giant delivers everyday pieces designed for everyday life. Feel the difference of quality, made-to-last clothes from American Giant. Get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20.
Since 2011, American Giant has been making everyday clothing with extraordinary effort. Not in far-off factories, but right here in the USA. We obsess over fabrics, fit, and details. Because if you're going to wear it every day, it should feel great and last for years. From the cut of a hoodie to the finishing of a seam, nothing is overlooked. Our supply chain is tight-knit and local, which means less crisscrossing the country and more care in every step. The result is durable clothing, t-shirts, hoodies, sweatpants, and denim that become part of your life season after season. This isn't fast fashion, it's clothing made with purpose, by people who care as much about how it's made as how it fits. Get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20.
So hi, I'm Virgie Rodriguez here with season two of A Race of Your Own, where we talk about how inspiration leads to resilience. And I'm really excited about today's guest. I remember him back in the days in New York City. We were grinding out on the streets, figuring it all out, right? But he is a versatile creative with broad production experience. He's produced projects for MTV, Viacom, projects that included the Dub Magazine Project, Hip Hop Squares, Nick Cannon's Wildin' Out, and even MTV VMA's EMA's pre-live show. He's co-founder of a show called El Show, which is a social media first bilingual community platform celebrating the culture and lifestyle of baseball, specifically because baseball has about 30% of Major League Baseball, which is made up of Latino players. He's been a senior producer for CNN. He supervised and helped execute the visual look and feel for CNN Plus production shoots, shows that included No Mercy, No Malice, featuring Scott Galloway, The Rex Chapman Show, and Masters of Medicine with Dr. Sanjay Gupta. Welcome, Rafael Jimenez.
Thank you for having me. We're still trying to figure it out, by the way, Virgie.
Still trying to figure out. How are you feeling today, Rafael?
Feeling great, actually.
You know, and that wasn't even like half of your credits. Like, you sent me even more credit than I was like, I tried to get it all in, so I couldn't.
Yeah, my experience is broad. I mean,
it's very broad.
You know.
It's very broad. Sure. And you did a lot of stuff with Refinery 29 as well. You launched.
Yeah, I was involved when Refinery 29 was 13 people in terms of like their video production team. This was before Snapchat, before TikTok, before I think Instagram was just starting. And so, you know, I was there for 2.5 years and saw, I got a front row seat to two rounds of VC funding and seeing something expand from a small team to 150 people to managing my own sort of branded content studio, which, I mean, a lot of learnings on the way, but it was a fantastic experience.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, talk about, you know, being that kind of like mover and shaker and trendsetter.
I mean, it's just, it's been a natural evolution ever since I sort of, you know, growing up in New York City and then sort of, you know, coming out of college, interning at MTV, getting involved with like Urban Latino Magazine, which is a magazine that I'm not sure.
Remember Urban Latino Magazine?
It was one of the first magazines that were in English catering to
Latino,
to a Latino Hispanic audience, right? And so, you know, and at that point, there was just a culture of, it was sort of, I might, you know, I'm dating myself now, but you know, it was like the mid 90s. Hip hop was at its height, and there was this intersection in New York of like hip hop and Latin and, you know, all kinds. It was like a stew.
Right. And we're featuring this during Hispanic Heritage Month. So it's important to kind of tell our stories and like all that kind of stuff. That's like, it's always been so important for us to include our like New Yorker Latino stories, but even at a broader scale, right?
You know, it was wild because so I came from that, right? But then I started traveling, you know, through MTV. I got I was fortunate enough to travel to LA and Chicago and Austin and Florida to do things. And then you start connecting with like-minded people. And it's amazing how the hustle is similar, but just slightly culturally different depending on where you are geographically.
Right. Right. And like seeing, opening your eyes to that, because even like West Coast, right? So yeah, East Coast.
Absolutely.
Like Southwest versus...
But the love was always there. Like
Definitely.
The sort of, it's amazing how there's like, because, you know, there wasn't a lot of people doing stuff. And even now, you know, I mean, there's more now, right? Because it's become sort of pop in certain pockets. But it was amazing to, you know, go out west and get support from some of the radio stations and interviewing us when we were just like, you know, this small East Coast magazine doing some stuff, right?
I remember Urban Latino magazine is so big. And it's interesting. It's like the last time, one of the last times Romeo Santos was in Los Angeles. And this was a few years ago. I think it may have been pre-COVID. But like even at that time, he had two nights at the Forum, right? And he sold out. It was sold out. And it was a majorly Mexican crowd.
I mean, that's the market. I mean,
I was just like, wow.
Fast forward, you've got Bad Bunny doing a residency in Puerto Rico.
For 30 days.
You know, where people are telling me, hey, I'm flying to Puerto Rico for his residency, right? And he's attracting people from all over the world, right? To come to Puerto Rico.
Which is the point, right?
But what I'm saying, but just the evolution of the market in general has really sort of transformed, right? And a lot of it's driven by, you know, cultural markers, sports, music, food, family. Like there's certain things, but that's not all. That's, you know, sports.
Speaking of sports, your show, El Show, I got a hat. He gave me a hat and I will wear it in honor of this show because we're going to talk baseball because we're Dominican and we talk about baseball. And I've had, in honor of you, I bought like my branded New York Yankee water bottle, which it's not something you worked on, but I just thought it was fitting. I was like,
yeah, no,
we're Yankee fans. Yeah,
we love ourselves the Yankees in New York City.
It's everywhere. And I was like, ooh, this is great.
I mean, you know, New York's also a Mets town, right? But you know,
it is,
you know,
and I always say I'm actually both.
Yeah, I mean, I root for the Mets when the Yankees are not in the World Series.
Exactly.
But I appreciate we've gotten an opportunity to go and shoot at Shea and interview some of their players.
Yeah.
And, you know.
Talk about El Show, because I love it. I love the content. I love that it's like this view or this space of like actually talking to the players of the Latino community, not just Dominican, right? We're both Dominican, but like, I thought it was 90%. But it says 30% of the Major League Baseball is made up of Latino
players. Yeah, about 30%, depending on what year and what research you pull up, it's about 30%. And it's also close to that as well in the minors as well. Minor League Baseball is comprised of 30% international players, which means that it is a stew of like Japanese and Dominican and Puerto Rican, Venezuelan, Nicaraguan, and all that other stuff, right? So it was one of the reasons why, you know, my partner and I, Phil, who I went to high school with, Phil Colon.
Yeah.
He comes more from an advertising standpoint, and I come more from a production creative side. And we sort of were having a conversation one day because both of our sons play travel baseball.
Nice.
We're both baseball fans. We went to high school in the Bronx, literally, you know.
By Yankee Stadium.
Literally.
Right.
You know, 10 blocks away from Yankee Stadium.
Right.
And I remember growing up and, you know, I would come home and my dad or my mom would have like the Yankee game on. And that's how, you know, you become a fan based on
what your parents are doing.
Exactly. And my parents were immigrants, right? So at the end of the day, they didn't speak English, or they figured they understood it better than they spoke it. But at the end of the day, they were into this like American pastime called baseball because like it was big in the country. DR as well.
Yeah,
right?
That's our language. Like we understand baseball. Yeah. Like we just understand baseball.
Exactly.
It's like, yeah, culturally.
And so we were having a conversation one day and we're like, hey, why don't we do something? And then we kind of batted it around and, you know, how do we create a platform that's a community, right? And we go out of our way to be a community, right? So a lot of it, we'll do interviews. So we've interviewed, you know, Vladimir Guerrero Jr. We've interviewed O'Neal Cruz. We've interviewed Jose Berríos, who's Puerto Rican, for a pitcher for the Blue Jays. So we've gotten a chance to interview a lot of big name MLB players, but we also use it as a platform to, if we find a really good young player doing an instructional video, you know, we'll repost that and then tag them and support them in their stuff, right? We'll create pieces. Like we just did something, we shot at Yankee Stadium. a brief press conference with Johnson Loaiza, who's Nicaraguan. And so we put a little thing together, and then we tagged MLB in Nicaragua, and then they reposted the video. And so for us, like, we're trying to create this community where we support players and the game, telling their stories that are not just about the everyday, here are my stats, here's how I perform, but in terms of, like, what are their hopes, what are their dreams, what are their aspirations, what else do they want to say besides what, you know, regular media, because regular media in the United States, mainstream media, really tries to narrow that message, right? And so we try to broaden that message that gets to our sort of platform.
And them as people.
Yeah.
Which I was just talking about with another guest. It's like always about authenticity, right? And coming back to, like, our culture, celebrating our culture. And, like, how important is that until, especially during Hispanic Heritage Month, right? It's like keeping that kind of image.
Yeah. I mean, you can't get around it, but how do you tell that cultural story so that it's, like, authentic, right? Mm-hmm. That it's not just, you know, and social media poses its own. And we decided to do social just because we felt like, how do we tell stories that are authentic in less than a minute 30, right? And so for us, you know, we felt like that was a challenge in and of itself. But at the same time, we felt that the consumer's changing. People, like my kids that are, like, in their sort of mid to late teens, they don't watch TV.
At all.
They'll watch Netflix, or they might.
This podcast is supported by The Real Real. You know what I love most about the holidays? Giving gifts. But not just any gifts. Real gifts. Thoughtful gifts. Oh my God, how did you know gifts? That's why I love gift shopping with The Real Real. The Real Real is the most trusted name in authenticated luxury resale. And it's a holiday shopping secret I'm going to let you in on. Whether it's a surprisingly affordable, pristine condition bag for your BFF, a vintage find that's cool enough for the Gen Zer in your life, or even something your impossible to shop for dad will love. Get used to saying, I found it on The Real Real. Seriously, with over 10,000 new arrivals dropping every day from brands like Gucci, Fendi, Prada, Louis Vuitton, Tiffany & Co., and Cartier, there's guaranteed to be something for everyone on your list. Oh, and did I mention everything's up to 90% off retail? Get $25 off your first purchase at TheRealReal.com. That's TheRealReal.com to get your $25 off. TheRealReal.com.
They pop on YouTube, but it's really...
like streaming.
Streaming, yeah. But they don't stream long. Like, they don't have the bandwidth, right? And so we saw that shift happening 3 years ago. And it was happening before that, right? And so we figured, you know, why don't we go where the audience is? And we've had fantastic success.
Nice. Yeah. And I've seen the channel grow, or, like, your pages grow, and, like, people reposting it.
We get a lot of reposts. We get a lot of love, but we also pride ourselves in sort of also reaching out and supporting, right? It's not just, you know, we
tag us.
Yeah, exactly. Because a lot of people will take your content and they don't credit you, but we go out our way to recredit you. Hey, if we can, and then I always message people, hey, can we collaborate? And, you know, sometimes people do, sometimes people don't, but we're finding now that more and more, as El Show's getting out there, that more people want to do some sort of, like, small collaborations with us, whether it's just, you know, doing a collaborative post on social media, or, hey, let's figure out how we can do something together.
And from being a content creator, right, like, you've done these really big projects and you were working with these really big platforms, to now your, you know, your kind of your passion project, so to speak, being El Show. What's, like, an important thing that creators should focus on, because the industry is shifting so much specifically? And I know New York, you know, there's work and there's still shows and stuff that shoot here. But, like, specifically even in Los Angeles, it's been a little bit of, like, you know, a downturn, to say the least. And, you know, now we have a tax incentive. So we'll see what happens. They're saying that that's going to boost the economy. Like, but for people that create content on their own, and you've worked with these big platforms, what feedback would you say, and for people, like, to be, like, to stay kind of hopeful, right, in that sense? Because you went out and you're, like, El Show, and, like, because it takes a second, like, it, like, you're getting the repost, you're getting, but it takes a second, and it takes a lot of, like, action, so to speak, right, for pun intended, I guess. But
so this is like my fifth entrepreneurial endeavor,
right?
And I remember, you know, I had a clothing brand that I started in the in the mid to late 90s. I literally started selling it out of a knapsack in Washington Heights, Republica. And, you know,
I had the T-shirt forever,
you know,
and I still got your brand.
Exactly. And so we started in 96. Right. And we in 2003, 2004, we're sort of like in Bloomingdale's, Macy's, Fred Segal's in L.A., which used to be a store. I'm not sure if they're still open. So this is. So a lot of what happens is sometimes it's trial and error, right? Like I wasn't a fashion designer, but I had ideas and I knew people. So I figured out how to get people together to help me put stuff together, right? And so I think that sometimes as creators, right? Because that is creation. You're just creating a clothing line versus sort of either a film or a short or whatever the case may be. I think that sometimes you just have to go out and do it yourself, right? Or try it yourself, right? So I think that it's important to try. Story is everything, right? If you've got a compelling story, right, then story is everything. And the other thing that I will tell you is because I'm sort of a little bit of a technology geek, as you can tell, I was talking to your camera guy about his cameras, right? Is that you embrace technology because it's coming. It's the one consistent thing that will always continue evolving, right? We went from like computers that were the size of this room to, you know, phones that are the size of our BTS shooter right now.
Right.
Right. And so, you know, so I think the tool, think about it. It's wild to think that all you need is an iPhone with audio equipment and maybe a hard drive for you to be able to shoot a film or a short.
Right.
Right. And so I think that a lot of people are hesitant to embrace that stuff. And I think, you know, there's a new wave coming. You know, I don't know if you've heard about it. It's called AI.
That was my next question. It's like, and your thoughts on AI? Because there was just something that I don't know if you follow him, and I talk about him a lot on this show, which is producer Patrick, which he talks about like everything that's happening in the industry and like what's going on, movers, shakers, up, down, what's good, what's bad. But he was saying that there's some study that's out. He just posted it the other day. There's some study that's out that's saying that AI is not giving the results that they had hoped, you know, and that wasn't specifically in entertainment. It was in another kind of field. But they're just saying, like, their studies have shown that AI isn't really giving the turnaround that companies would have hoped.
Well, it's, you know, to use our baseball terminology, it's the first inning.
Right. Right.
I mean, think about it. Companies have just, they've been pouring money into this. They're sort of trying to build it out. It's like, it's almost like, think about when the internet has been around for a while, but right. When they really started pouring money into it was sort of like the late 90s, right?
Right.
And so I think that you're in the first inning. And so I think that as creators, it behooves us to understand what those tools are. And because you know what? As resistant as we may be to them, my kids will not be resistant to them. And the generation after that, it'll become the norm.
Right.
Self-driving cars, we're like, I'll never get into one, but it'll become the norm, right?
Waymo scares me on the street. Like Waymo freaks me out.
Yeah, but then once you have a 14-year-old that's ridden it several times, and then she's used to calling Waymo to pick her up from where, you know, dance or wherever your parents need her to be picked up, then when she's 22, then that just becomes the norm.
Right.
Right. And so I think that technology will march forward, right? Technological advancements will continue. And I think as a creative, I think you really kind of sort of need to figure out what you're trying to do is going to be either impacted or can assist in what you're trying to do. It doesn't say you need to, I know some people that are doing full AI advertising agencies.
Yeah.
But full AI. But when you look at them, they look cool. And then they look like, you know, they're doing like, for example, I know one that's doing like smaller local commercials and they look phenomenal, but there's just a little bit of something that's off, but that's just the nature of it being the first inning. I tell you right now, in 4 years, like, you won't know the difference.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's a little scary. I think I saw the last Indiana Jones movie, and I think they used AI for Harrison Ford, like the younger Harrison Ford in the movie. And I was like, oh my God, he looks great. They did a great makeup job. And then, like, I realized, I was like, oh, that was AI. Like, I was like, he looked great. Like, I was like, oh wow, that was great. And I was like, wait, no, that was AI.
But it
completely fooled me. Yeah, like
that, but that's the technology, right? And that technology is coming whether we want to or not. And they can create versions of Virgie that look slightly different. And it kind of looks like she could be your cousin, but she's not. And then they can kind of sort of, next thing you know, it's Virgie, the AI person, And then they don't have to pay rights to someone, or they don't have to pay residuals on a film because you wanted 20 million plus residuals, right? Yeah. So I think that there's going to be a shift. But I think as creators, there's also an opportunity, right? To be able to sort of embrace these tools, figure out what works for you, because you don't have to use all of them.
No.
Because there's like a million of them. And everyone's got a different name, and there's a different one coming out every week.
Every week. And then like, I like the ones where it's like they like kind of bring back artists. Like I've seen AI videos of Michael Jackson, like the evolution of Michael Jackson, right? And like things like that. Or like him, you know, what he would look like now, you know what I mean? Or something like that. And it's great because it's like, oh, that's my favorite artist. Like I want, like, that's great. But then there's this other thing where when it starts to affect actors or productions and
emotional resonance, though, is sort of like a very important part of, you know, storytelling. You want your stories to emotionally resonate either with your audience or your community or whatever it is that you're doing from a production standpoint. Mm-hmm.
And so I just want to give a shout out to some of my sponsors. As you see, I'm wearing this hat, this New York hat. Today's episode, I want to shout out our friends over at EFM Essentials. I'm rocking their New York hybrid trucker hat, designed with performance, comfort, and durability in mind. It's perfect for training, traveling, or everyday wear, or if you go on to the golf course. EFM is a brand that's committed to creating gear for those who never stop pushing. Visit them online at www.efmessentials.com. or at EFM Essentials on all social platforms. Grab yours and step into your grind today. What do you feel like that leads to that, right? Like, how do you figure that out, right? If you're like coming up with a concept for something, or, you know, trying to put pieces together of a puzzle for a project, like, how do you know what's going to emotionally resonate? How do you know, right? Like, are you just kind of, you study?
But that's in the storytelling.
Right.
Right. And sometimes as a storyteller, you may not know, right? You may have to write something and run and, you know, and maybe find, you know, a collaborative group of people that you can bounce stuff off of. Hey, what do you think of this? Right. I'm thinking of making this as a short. Right.
Right.
You want to find out if it's, you know, and then obviously it all depends on the subject matter too.
Right.
I mean, you have to research. And the beauty of it all, and I was talking to my kids about this, like, well, we wanted to research.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Stuff back in the day, it was like the Britannica encyclopedia. It was like, you know,
you had to go to the library. Like, you actually had to go to the library.
I mean, you have one app on your phone called ChatGPT,
right?
That literally you will ask it anything. And granted, I'm not telling you that every answer it gives you is legit, but you can probably get ideas to generate stuff that will resonate with an audience that you're trying to target.
Right. And it's scary. Somebody was talking about this. Somebody online was talking about this, but they were saying, like, ChatGPT, like, you can write a whole book on ChatGPT. You just can't, which is again at the point where it's like the arts is being lost, right? Like, but, in that sense.
But the book, I don't know if you, I've read enough. Like, I could read an article and tell
it was ChatGPT,
or what percentage of it was chat.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, you can tell because some people will say written by AI, and at the bottom. And so when you read it, you're like, this sounds a real look, real kind of robotic. It doesn't sound, there's no fluidity to it. Right.
Right.
But that's only a matter of time before it becomes more sort of
mainstream.
It becomes more fluid. You know, there's more information. The more information the AI has, the more it can become. Like the other day, I did a search and it ended like, I got your back. It ended with, I got your back, exclamation point. I was like, so it also,
scary.
So if you have an account and you're doing searches, it's learning more about you. So I try to keep my searches very superficial. But, you know, that's the technology. These kids will put everything into that. You can literally, you can literally put in your LinkedIn resume if you're
right.
And it will give you feedback on what you need to fix to make it more. And it will ask you, what kind of jobs are you looking for that we can, that I can help you with?
I don't know. I don't know about that.
It's the future, Verge. Like, you know, all I'm saying is, and you see it every generation,
yeah.
Right? Parents that were anti-rock and roll.
Yeah.
Parents that were anti-hip hop.
Yeah.
The parents that were anti-baggy clothes, baggy jeans, right?
Right.
There's always going to be resistance, but eventually it overcomes. Where's hip hop now?
Right. It's global.
Probably more than $1 trillion business when you sort of compound like everything that it can plow. I don't even know what's after a trillion. Anybody know what's after a trillion?
A gazillion.
Let's go with that.
A gazillion? I don't know.
You know, so that's kind of sort of...
Google, what's after a trillion?
So all those things inform, you know, the things that... And these are the things that, as, you know, co-founder of El Show, I think about on a daily basis. And
yeah.
I talk to Phil about, and so do we bounce ideas back and forth. Like, you know what? You know, because we get into a point where we're like, okay, cool. What is it? What's the evolution, right?
Right.
Because what happens is when we started, there were a lot of social media platforms, but not as many as now. Now that I feel like there's like so many.
There's so many things to be distracted. But, you know, and I've talked about this before, too. It's like YouTube, they're saying that people now, that YouTube has always wanted to compete with Netflix. And, you know, even Netflix shows are like getting better, right? And like more engaging and like more interesting to watch. But that a lot of people turn, when they turn on their TV, they're not even turning on a streamer, they're turning on YouTube. And they're watching stuff on YouTube.
YouTube, and don't quote me on this, but this might have to be the research. I want to tell you that YouTube has surpassed Netflix in viewership.
Has it?
Almost positive. Can somebody Google that, please?
Yes.
Has YouTube surpassed Netflix in viewership hours? It's wild. Because
you can even, and not even on a phone, on a proper television.
They've got it, right?
Has it?
It has. By how many does it break down? How many hours?
We'll see.
So the key is that you've got YouTube TV,
right?
And you've got the free, then you can start your old series on that stuff.
T's audience broke on TV space primary factor, reaching 13.4% of total viewership. While Netflix shares have remained relatively stable, 8%.
Wow.
So 13%.
13%.
All, right. And that's,
thank you.
And that's a global, thank you so much. And that's a global business, right? Netflix is also a global business. It's just that one is more long form based.
Right.
The other one is more long and short.
Right. It's both. It's both.
They're dipping into both.
Wow. That's amazing. And I think they're encouraging creators. They support creators. They're great at it. You know, it's again, you know, it's a place. And I've talked with another guest that I had last season about Tubi. Right. And she was like, well, it's just a great rev share model.
Yeah.
Right. They just have this, but it doesn't. And, you know, her whole feedback, especially in the, I'd be interested to hear you say, like, her whole feedback with like newer content creators or newer filmmakers or storytellers, right? What was feedback you would give them in reference to like wanting to start? Because some people are scared. It's daunting. I think for you and I, it kind of comes a little more natural, right? In that sense. But for some people, it's daunting. They don't, you know, they might not know how to really tell a good story.
Pick up your phone and be like, hey, I want you to do this, this, and this. And, you know, write some ideas. Maybe have, you know, ChatGPT help you with an outline that then you sort of fill in, right? I have a neighbor of mine, young guy out of college, had some issues trying to, you know, really land his foot somewhere. He had an idea for a car review channel.
Mm.
And all he's got is probably maybe 3,000 to 5,000 followers. And he has a brand new car in his driveway for 2 to 3 weeks at a time because he's now reviewing cars on a regular basis. They're flying him
That's
to places.
Amazing.
So micro creators, micro storytellers, is also a thing. And that's how people start off small and then slowly begin to evolve, right?
Right. There's something I want to touch upon here. So you co-directed and co-produced Humanity of Connection, which was narrated by Jeffrey Wright, which explores the state of the civil discourse and importance of connection. This film was featured at AT&T's event at Jazz at Lincoln Center, and that the title refers to the theme in society and the media highlighting the idea of human connection. So is a lot of like kind of the storytelling kind of, which is what you kind of said before, it's like it has to connect with the audience and like just humans connecting with humans, which I talked about with another guest, which is the authenticity and like coming back to that. Like, how important do you think that is in storytelling? But even like that, can you talk a little bit more about that project, Humanity of Clash?
That's a project that we did for AT&T internally. They were trying to do something. And so we worked on this project and it was great because the research was great. I did it in partnership with two other folks. And so it was great because it really allowed us to sort of really delve into, because sometimes technology can separate people, but sometimes technology can bring people together, right? And so, you know, we sort of approached it from the POV that, you know, connection is everything.
Right.
Right. Whether you're connecting individually, whether you're connecting as part of a community. Humans are tribal.
Right.
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 By nature. Right.
Yeah.
We hang with people we want to hang with and we feel comfortable with other people around us. And some people are loners, but at the end of the day, you know what I'm saying? Like, I think that specifically for creators, you need to be able to figure out like what is going to resonate. If you have an idea, you need to ask yourself, is that going to resonate? Like, what is it? Why is it? Like, why am I doing my idea? This should be a why.
Right.
Right.
Right. Right. Right.
Simon Sinek has a great book called, you know, Why. Right.
Right.
I forgot. It's not why. It's something.
Why something?
No, no. Like anything you do in life should have a why.
Right. Right.
Why am I doing this?
Right.
Like if you're trying to create content, like why are you doing it? Why like do you think it's important?
This.
Yeah.
You know, I really, yeah.
Yeah. Like, what's your why?
My why for me, it was not only just like to inspire people, but to kind of really uplift and build community. That just is my why. Maybe it's not a strong why or a strong enough why.
No.
But you know,
we're on the same why.
You know what I mean? For me, yeah, like El Show, like you're saying, like it's about community and like bringing people together and like just highlighting, you know, to me, people. Like I just find it interesting that because everybody that I kind of bring on has these really kind of vast careers and really like rich careers. And so for me, it's just really interesting. Like, how did you go from there to like now what you're doing to here, right? Like, what was that arc? Because we always see the finished product. We always see, you know, the great movie, the great whatever, the great book, great, you know, but what did it take to make you get there? Like, that's more interesting to me personally.
Yeah, trial and error. Is huge, right? Trial and error. And then
failing,
right? You learn a lot. Right. You learn a lot in failing. It was funny. My son, he plays travel baseball and he has this coach that he works with that teaches a travel team. And so he puts the teams into leagues where they're playing better competition because he wants them to learn how to fail. They want you to go through the process of failing and coming out on the other side. And then he'll coach them through the process of failing. It's okay to fail.
That's phenomenal. That's a great tactic.
Let's tie it back to baseball, right? Think about this. 7 out of 10 times a baseball hitter will fail in baseball. So if you fail 7 out of 10 times,
that's a lot.
That's a Hall of Fame hitter.
Right.
That means you're a 300 hitter.
Right.
So it's okay to fail. Like failure is sort of a process where you fail and then you introspect. And then the key is you just can't let yourself debilitated by the failure.
Right.
And then collaboration, right? Like collaboration is key. Honestly, I've had people throughout my life because I'm a very collaborative person by nature, right? And so I feel like that's kind of like helped me a little bit.
Yeah.
And I've had people that, not everyone, but you have people in your life that I can kind of point to from high school all the way through today that I've made connections with that helped me on my journey, whether by the advice or teaching me or whatever the case may be. And even today, I'm always on a quest to learn, right? I don't really think that I've gotten to the point where I know, and I always feel like I don't know enough.
Right. And I think, you know, and going back to my why and this, you know, this podcast, which is Race of Your Own, you know, it's a question that I ask all guests, which is like, you know, what advice would you give someone to, you know, because in life we go through uphill, downhill, we plateau sometimes, and sometimes we're at a crossroads and there's just tumbleweeds and we don't know which way to go. So what advice would you give someone that is just to stay in a race of their own, right? Because there's going to be moments where you're going to be up against a heavy hitter and you're going to have to kind of like be like, ugh, I failed. Like they're a heavy hitter. Like their stats are just better than mine. Like no matter what, right? So what advice would you give someone in to stay in a race of their own, just in life, right? Across the board.
Life is not linear and it's a marathon, right? And with peaks and valleys. And so I think that if you have a goal, right, and that goal is at the end of a horizon, you want to make sure that through the highs and lows, you can kind of sort of stay even, because, you know, it's the problem is that when you, and I experienced this a lot early in my days where I would get so excited about the fact that so-and-so was interested in, like, maybe possibly, like, looking at my stuff and possibly carrying my stuff at Blooming. And I would get so elated. Right. And then the fact that it took like 9 months of like, and then it's not going to happen. And then this is going to happen. And it's not going to happen.
But and it's good, but it could be better.
Yeah. So I've learned that if it means something to you to stick to it, right? Like, don't just give up on it. And, you know, and of course you also have to be self-aware enough to know, like, I know now, like, I'm going to try an idea and I'll know within a year it's not going to work. I should just cut it loose and then just start another one.
Do you get, and is a year, but a year is a long time, right? So are there moments where it's like even sooner, like where you're just like, but you're passionate about it. So
I try to give it a year. If I'm going to invest my time, because time is one of those assets that has no return. Meaning like once you've spent your time, you're never getting it back.
Right.
It's the only asset that you spend that you can never get back.
Ever.
Right. So you trade it for money. You trade it for, you know, a show on TV. Right. So you should think about how you invest your time. Right. So my point for that was,
how to stay in a race of your own.
So again, you have to sort of, I give it a year because I feel like that's enough time for me to figure out if this is going to work. It'll allow me to deal with the peaks, the valleys and the peaks, ups and downs, and then I'll see if it starts to get traction. And usually between month nine and 12, you'll find out if it's going to crash. Sometimes I'll cut it off at 9 and then I'll just move on.
Right. Yeah. You know, especially if you don't have a sounding board, it's hard to, so building that, again, coming back to like the community and building people that you have said, like throughout my life, there's these people, you know, and I feel like you too, like you're, no matter how much time passes by, like we'll connect and I'll be like, this is what I'm working on. You're like, this is what I'm working on. I'm like, that's awesome. You know, and we're just like back and forth. So you have these like cheerleaders, but then you also have people that you can just like bounce ideas off of too,
people,
right?
People are going to tell you for real how they feel. Like, well, you know, I don't know. Maybe you should try something differently. And I have like about 10 of those people. Like, I feel like you should seek those people out.
Right.
People that are nice. Listen, there's going to be people around you that are just going to tell you it's great. It's fantastic. And so you want to understand, again, why do you think it's great and fantastic?
Right.
And you want people that are going to tell you the truth and be honest with you. And then there's people that are going to be like, that's not going to work. And they're just shooting down because they don't want to see your success.
Right. So, but sometimes that's even harder, right? Because you're like, I'm really passionate about this. So, and I want to see this through. Yeah. Right. And I still believe in it. So, you know, it'd be interesting for me to know, like, you know, because, and I've talked about this before, it's like, you know, somebody talked about, another guest, Chris Denton, he talked about, you know, like giving, it's like a death, right? It's like you grieve it and then you let it go. But then something that he didn't touch upon, which I was like, oh yeah. And I just like kind of stopped it there. I was like, the rebirth of it. There's like this rebirth, like what you're saying, going back to the baseball, you know, that coach puts that team up against a team that's like way better than them, you know, to see them fail, right? But it's like, how do they do with the rebirth of that? There's like the death, because it's like, oh, they lost the game or lost several games, right? But then how do they get back up? And I was ill, yeah, how do you get back up? Yes, that's one way to say it, but like what I'm seeing, it's like, what's the rebirth of that, right? Like, what's the renewed of that?
1,000%. And then again, that coach, right? Just like the good people that I've had the sort of luxury and sort of, you know, pleasure to sort of have connect with, right? Quality of your relationships, man.
Right.
Listen, you know if somebody's good for you or not. And it's when you're younger, it's harder to discern.
Yeah.
Right. And you cut loose the people that are not, you know, people are, there used to be a famous New York DJ. His name was, he rest in peace. His name is DJ Frankie Crocker. At WBLS.
I remember that name.
And he said, people are either in your life for a reason, a season, or a lifetime.
Yes.
And so you got to know who's the reason, who's the season, and who's the lifetime.
Yeah.
And if it's not lifetime, then it's got to be season. And if it's not season, it's got to be a reason. And if it's not a reason, or any of those three, then, you know, you got to go.
Then something's up.
because life is short. You know, you want to be able to, especially the creative process, man, is, you know, people that are creative or, you know, it's such a tough sort of business, right? And so you want to work with like-minded folks that want to support you. You want to support them, and you just want to be able to make something good together. And it's a collaborative process. Again, you started maybe on your own, but at the end of the day, you know, you need the audio guy,
right?
You need the camera guy,
right?
The BTS person with the fly sunglasses, you know what I'm saying?
Who's might be offsite right here.
We might just have to put a
iPhone
on her.
But yeah, exactly.
But again, it's a, I mean, think about it. It's you and I, but how many people are helping make this happen?
This whole thing, right.
So again,
a room full of people. Yes. Yeah. And I think the reciprocity of it, right? The reciprocity of it, I think more now than ever, talking about authenticity, talking about people actually helping each other out, you know, it's just, you know, and again, with social media, and I've talked about this before, it's like just, it's so easy to just see something and be like, I can do that and just replicate it. You know what I mean? And it loses
its currency.
Its currency and its zhuzh, as we like to say.
And then also social media sometimes only shows you, right, the good, right? You don't see the
work,
the before, the after, the, you know what I'm saying? Like
the steps.
It shows you the polished product, you know, and you have a false sense of like, oh my God, this is amazing. I can, you know.
And then you go look at another page. It's like, oh, they just got it from there. What else is up for you? What's up next? Where do we see El Show going? Like, what's happening?
That's going to be...
secret right now.
Secret for now. Don't want to give it away. I mean, I know. So it's funny. It's ironic to see, like, MLB is now embracing that a little bit more. Kudos to them. They're doing a show that's social-based with Francisco Lindor, right? So I think that what we started has sort of sprouted in other areas. And so we're trying to figure out the evolution, not only for ourselves, but continue helping tell these players' stories, you know what I'm saying, in a way that kind of resonates with them and their fandom and, you know, and the rest of the world, ideally.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Rafael, for being here. And this is Virgil Rodriguez with The Race of Your Own. Stay tuned. Give it a like, subscribe, give us comments, ask Rafael questions, let us know what you think, and we'll see you soon. Bye.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
You've finally broken loose from work. Three friends, one tea time, and then the text. Honey, there's water in the basement. Not exactly how you pictured your Saturday. That's when you call us, Cincinnati Insurance. We always answer the call, because real protection means showing up, even when things are in the rough. Cincinnati Insurance. Let us make your bad day better. Find an agent at cinfin.com.